the main focus of that inside the house area is that, yes, they get to relax, not having too many features where people don't go out, because we are focusing on going out. So the deck area is very important for barbecues, just having a drink, making a little pizza or something. And then you go further down and you have the sauna. So it's kind of like it's on a little bit of a hill. You kind of walk down to the stream. The stream is on the property. So we might build a little bridge so you can easily access the sauna right after. And after the sauna is the river. So it's kind of layered very well, and you see the house beautifully from the river area.
Yep. So this is the ground floor, the first floor.
Yes. So this is a first floor. It's essentially a
Nick, you want to zoom in a bit? Oh, nice.
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. Alrighty, so right before we jump into today's episode, quick reminder, pre-registration for the spring session of the Japan Real Estate Summit is now open. We've already got quite a few of you who pre-registered, good on you. And in case you're hearing about this for the first time, that's 18th and 19th April 2026, Saturday and Sunday at the Pullman Hotel in Tokyo, or via the streaming channel online if you can't make it in person. And via the streaming channel, you'll also be able to float questions directly to the speakers, get them answered, and get together with everyone else in the streaming room, network, so really the next best thing to being there. Almost all of your favorite speakers will be back, including the OG Akiya Hunter, Matt Ketchum, founder and president of Akiya's with a Z, who couldn't make it last time but is now back with a vengeance, and some new and exciting speakers, soon to be announced, hands down the best and biggest English language industry event in Japan. And do not miss the opportunity, as anyone who's attended one of these already knows. And if you haven't, you're soon going to find out. So hop over to this episode's show notes or to our website, Nippon Tradings. That's NIPPON, Nippon Tradings with an S, all one word, .com. You can find the pre-registration link at the top of our homepage. And it's a pretty significant discount. So if you already know you'll be joining us, whether in person or online, pause this podcast for a minute and go put your name down now, lest you forget. Right. So for today's episode, this one's a bit of a special one and should be really interesting for all of you hospitality, Airbnb, and Minpaku investors out there. I've recently had the pleasure of interviewing three co-founders who have purchased, renovated, and are now opening the doors on a very cool health and wellness type short-term stay property in the Japanese countryside. And they're doing it the right way, as opposed to many of you out there, sorry to say, who essentially have just a dream, a hope, and not much in the way of planning or strategy. So we break down their property selection criteria, where, what, and why they ended up purchasing the property that they chose, their business model, their guest profile, the features of the property, and the area around it. So all of the aspects that make a hospitality business succeed. We talk about how to promote and market your niche, activities that guests can partake in when they visit, and then, of course, the numbers. So purchase costs, preparations, renovations, projected income, occupancy, vacancy rates, licensing, compliance, and also what you're definitely here for if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you're tuning in via the podcast in audio mode only, you probably want to click the video link in the show notes and go watch it on YouTube, because we've got lots of photos, layouts, design sketches, 3D imaging of the property and the work that they've been doing on it. And then we go a bit meta and also talk about their plans for scaling and expanding, their motivations or their North Stars, if you will, and even about the spiritual connection to a home, which is very much a thing in my opinion too. And be sure to stay on until the very end, because we've also got a special deal for you, our podcast listeners, which will nab you half-price stays for yourselves and your family or groups of friends, whoever you normally go on these adventures with. So here's our conversation. Lean back, enjoy the ride, and I'll see you again on the other side.
Okay, so welcome to the Japan Real Estate Podcast. We've got Nick, Yeun, and Nilay. You've got a pretty exciting project to share, but before we do that, just give us like a little bit of a comic book number one origin story kind of thing. So I know, Nick, we met at one of our previous summits in Tokyo. I know that you also work in real estate, but give us the full story for yourself and the rest of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Siv, for having us. Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure always running into you at the real estate summits and as well. And it's just today we'd like to share some project that all three of us have been working on for the past, I would say, over a year. We've been, you know, looking at a lot of properties throughout the whole year just to start a business kind of a project.
Wait, I want to hear about you first. We'll get into that.
Yes. Okay. So myself, I'm Nick. I've, you know, grown up in Japan most of my life. I was originally, you know, born in the US. I'm half Japanese, so I've, you know, kind of been, you know, grew up in Japan with, you know, international background, and I've, you know, my current job very heavily ties with real estate, and also my, you know, kind of the interest in sort of the real estate project that stems from my current job. And also my father also runs a accommodation business as well himself.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so a lot of inspiration, a lot of ideas being exchanged all the time. So that's kind of where the passion and
you caught the bug.
Yes, exactly. You caught the bug. Yep. And I'll let Hyun and Nilay also introduce themselves as well.
Please.
I can take first. My name is Hyun Won Kim. I'm Korean, full Korean, but I've been living in Japan since high school. And so I've been living in
high
school.
Which was like two years ago, right? How old are you?
Exactly, 3 years ago. No, 13, 12 years ago.
Right.
So I've been pretty much spending my last 12 years in Japan with these two. That's been long, ever since we've been like together. And I also kind of surrounded myself with international people all the time while I'm living in Japan, which is kind of like a privilege. And my profession, I think mine is like the least related to like this whole real estate or Airbnb business compared to these two. I did venture capital for my job, but at the same time, I would say I just love solving problems, and to see the problems that I see is I see a lot of more people coming into Japan regularly, which is really a great thing. But they always
last. It looks like the current government is not that keen on us keeping coming on here.
But I hope it solves out everything. But at the same time, they always need more some like stable places or second home to really stay in Japan all the time. So those kind of problems that I saw was some things that I really want to solve. And I have these two people, Nick and Lay, like helping out, or it's like working together. So we just finally got a good team and good property. So really excited to be here and share more about the property.
Very cool. And Nilay?
Yes, my name is Nilay Hinger, and I've been living here all my life, actually longer than Nick and Hyun. I've been here 3 months after I was born. And
Okay.
My parents, they came here, started a food business, and one of the leading Indian food businesses here. And yeah, caught the bug from them of entrepreneurship. And I've kind of joined the business I run my own yoga business as well, so very much big into health and wellness. But something I studied philosophy in high school, in college, and there I also studied a lot of environmental studies. I had agriculture, regenerative agriculture, and basically getting out into nature and doing work in nature a lot. So something that I usually like incorporate a lot into what we're doing with this Airbnb, the short-term rental businesses. How much can we get the natural experience involved? You know, get not just in the house, but overall a nice vibe, a connection to nature. So it's not just an escape, it's also a reintegration for people when they come stay with us into nature as well. Yeah, so that's a lot of what I focus on. And yeah, I think it's a really good team. We all have different backgrounds,
Yeah,
but
you got the real
yeah.
estate guy, the finance guy, the health and wellness guy. It sounds perfect.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, tell us about the project. Where, what, how much? I'm sure people are interested in knowing the numbers too. Give and don't be shy to share your screen if you want to show us some photos of what's going on or what will be happening. So yes, I will shut up now and let you go ahead.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So, really, the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens, and they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which, if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy. Fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
Thanks. So yeah, it's been quite a long process of looking finding for a property. We initially targeted Yamanashi as just the proximity to Tokyo, and we've wanted to have somewhere like easily accessible by car, but also by trains. And we've kind of looked into several areas in Yamanashi, but first, Kyushu was our main target just because of the wine scene, and we kind of believed in the whole Japanese wine, just the whole at the beginning process. But a couple of problems we ran into was, one, the supply for the house was very, very limited, just because a lot of it was agricultural land, a lot of grapevine, vineyards. And our initial property that we looked into, which we were about to purchase, we were there about to sign for this property. We kind of noticed it was right next to a neighbor, and some of the chatters we've been hearing is like, do not purchase a property that has bad, like neighbors can make or break your property. And if they're always complaining about the stays and the noise coming from the accommodation, it could easily ruin your whole business model. So We've kind of took that into account, and yes, of course.
Sorry, Nick, just to clarify for myself and for the listeners, the plan is to build what, a wellness retreat, an Airbnb that also has some wellness elements. What was the concept?
Right. Yeah. So, feel free to add if I'm found missing anything. But what? Yeah. Our kind of main focus was to create sort of a. We took a lot of inspiration from Sanu, and Sanu is like a kind of like a business model, the subscription-based business model where they have multiple regions across Japan, and they target right like you said, wellness and wellness industry in general is very booming in especially in the US currently. And a lot of, Gen Zers, they're kind of cutting out alcohol and more so focusing on wellness like saunas and cold plunge and that sort of element. So we took a lot of inspiration from that, and it was like, hey, if you can promote the kind of underexposed regions of Japan and also incorporate a lot of the nature, we want the nature to do a lot of the heavy lifting to promote the area. So that's kind of our main focus, was to focus on the local nature side as well. And obviously feel free to add anything. That was kind of our focus in the beginning.
Nilay, you want to add something?
So it's not just a wellness retreat. We're not really advertising it as like a wellness retreat. I would say that it has more hidden elements. A wellness retreat, in my experience, just becomes a wellness retreat. So we want people to just we first targeted foreigners as well. Our very first target was just foreigners, and it still is. So we're targeting foreigners coming to Japan, offering them a Japanese experience, a local experience. So even in our house design, we're considering Japanese design principles, such as a tatami and different aspects of how a Japanese house is designed, including the garden, the steps that lead up to the sauna, that lead up to the river. So a lot of there's micro elements and macro elements we consider, so that those coming from far outside of Japan can experience a Japanese kind of stay. Along with that, we offer what there is in the area. So not only connection to the house, we want them to connect to the area, which means that they get a better experience out of it. So the wellness elements are hidden within, but it's not advertised as such. And along with that, when I talk about the house design, it's not just stay within. So our sauna is located outside of the house. We want people to connect with the nature outside. Just talking specifically about this property, the property has a stream running through it and a river right in front. So then we took out a cold plunge idea and just made the river our cold plunge. So people are hanging out inside the house and outside the house. And here we'll share some images of what this looks like. This is the
Yes,
river.
please.
And this kind
So
of leads up to the river. We
that's
have a
gorgeous.
beautiful view. This is of our recent visit. This is from the opposite side. We have the river running through a few houses around. And as Nick was saying regarding the neighbors, it's kind of like a besso house, which is like a second home. So the neighbors aren't there all around the year, maybe a month max of the year. So we do have a kind of private, secluded area for the guests to come and stay and enjoy. Hing, if you want to add.
I'll try to keep it really short because I don't want to scare all the podcast listeners away with a
No,
long
this is
answer.
exactly what they're here for, man. Go
But
crazy.
I want to just like to keep it short and kind of summarize. I want to make the eventually we want to build a Sanu in Japan for foreigners. Like keep it short with all these well-beingness or all those letting all these niche regions beside Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto to all the foreigners. All these like elements embedded inside. We want to build second house Sanu for foreigners who's not coming for Airbnb with sometimes a bit of up and down quality every single time because it's a C2C platform, but more of a quality assured place, second home for people where they want to really feel like home. They're not like staying at somewhere else. And well, all at the same time, we never want to over communicate or we never want to over promise. And becoming a Sanu is like a super long journey, I believe. Because Sanu, they already did Series B with like raising $40 million. There's already a huge organization while we're just like three of us building a first property, right? So what we're doing right now is we want to make sure that we can at least manage one property really well with all our vision and what we eventually want to do all like built in together. So we're just like, I guess at the stage that we want to build it to there, the Sanu stage, but we're still targeting Japanese or any foreigners coming to Japan, make sure that we,
Just to
yeah.
clarify for people, what's Sanwa exactly? I've heard the name before and I think I've seen some photos, but give us a bit of a background.
Yes, so Sanu is a second home subscription-based I guess Airbnb more, but that's more a bit more controlled under the brand called Sanu. So they have regions across all around Japan. And so people would usually just want to go outside of Japan, outside of Tokyo for second home during weekends. They just want to stay near nature and with all different reasons. And they've been one of the biggest players in Japan for letting people have that subscription model, the second house, for a while with all different reasons. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, so the plan was to create something similar to that.
For foreigners, so that really mainly targets Japanese, but at the same time, we want to target also foreigners who's periodically or regularly coming to Japan.
Yeah, and more of a, as Yoon just said, like more, not just the mainstream areas of Japan, but also letting them experience a little bit of what the Japan looks like outside of these overly populated tourist spots now. Those who are coming second, third time, they do look for that now. Like we are all international, we all have international background, hence we have a lot of family and friends coming. And after the first time, people do start asking, where should we go now? What is good to see now? And based on that, this property, this kind of idea works really well. But there isn't really the niche is that there isn't really something like that targeted towards foreigners. And kind of making this space, making this accommodation service for them kind of leads to more access to tier two and three cities as well.
Right. Got it. Well, keep scrolling through those pictures. Don't stop.
Now, here's some big news for anyone interested in Akiya, the abandoned vacant homes that are abundant all around Japan for very attractive purchase prices. Akiya Mart, our latest sponsor, is a recently founded online search and discovery tool for Japanese real estate. Its user interface will be very familiar to users of Zillow or Redfin. The platform essentially scouts the internet for property listings, translates them into English, and displays prices in US dollars, all in one place and with a dynamic map interface that makes browsing, finding, and shortlisting your favorite properties a piece of cake. Which any of you have been struggling with the dozens, if not hundreds, of Japanese property websites that are available online and their very clunky interface will probably find a real blessing. They've got already over 500,000 listings on the platform, and the database is expanding daily. Ranging from abandoned rural homes to luxury urban properties, Akiya Mart makes it easy to find your dream home in Japan, regardless of your budget. Now, while the platform is essentially free for use, here's an exclusive offer for listeners of the podcast. You can use the promo code NTI to receive $5 off Akiya Mart Pro. The subscription will unlock a bunch of very attractive features for you, including unrestricted access to the entire nationwide property database and a whole range of filters, which will help power charge your search for that elusive perfect home and make it even easier. So hop over to akiya-mart.com. That's AKIYA-MART, akiya-mart.com, and kick off your search today.
No, yeah.
Okay. And then how, so you've purchased and you're now renovating? Is that where you're at?
Exactly, yes. So right after we moved on from Koshu, we kind of focused set our sights on Hokuto, and that's where we came across this property. So we were like, we wanted to focus on the nature aspect and also accessibility from Tokyo. So, when we came across this property right along the river, we immediately fell in love with it. So, the initial conditions actually were pretty dire. So, just kind of looking through this, this was a bathroom where we, first purchased a property. Where this is the latest where we, crushed over
And
the.
that bathroom was sinking every th like 3 inches every year. So that bathroom needed to go. And so that's what it looks like most recently.
Yeah, and also, the kitchen. Originally, there was a small section, as you can see in the background right here. So there's a small room for a kitchen. I don't know why they designed that way, but we kind of, gutted that whole kitchen, removed the walls, flatted the floors, and we're planning to redo the whole kitchen as well. And some, yes, there's some difficulties in, trying to remove. We have several, the roof, or the ceiling, we discovered there's like a bird living in there, and we've had to do a couple, replacements to the ceiling, and there was like a whole bird's nest up there. So, yeah, there's some fun surprises along the way, but yeah, we've been slowly renovating this throughout the last couple months.
That's the magic of IKEA. There's always a surprise or a few surprises to be found.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so you're all living in Japan, so I'm assuming, and Nick is also half Japanese, and I'm assuming you all speak the language. So I'm assuming the purchase itself wasn't as challenging as it is for some of our customers, for example. But then, do you have a rough idea? Can you share some numbers about the purchase price, the renovation cost that you think you're going to end up with, the decking out of the property to prepare it for guests? Give us some numbers.
Yeah, I can quickly give number. So the purchase price, I think, of course, it all depends on the region, but the region, this one specifically near Yatsugatake, usually is the market price is average from 6 to 10 million dollars, 10 million yen.
Yep.
So you can kind of assume that our property is also around within that range. And also the renovation cost, of course, I think that's such a subjective number because it depends on the condition of the property. But we're looking at somewhere around 4 to 5 million yen
Right.
for the renovation cost in total. So in total it will be 14 to 16 million, and this is what we're kind of seeing. And that's kind of the market average price that we've been seeing within that region also too.
Got it. And do you have a rough idea? We'll get to the practicalities of it in a second, but do you have a rough idea of what sort of yield you can expect from it based on vacancy estimates or whatever? Occupancy estimates, I mean.
So we can share a bit of numbers. So there's a really there are several, because with all these AI tools that can scrape all the data available online, there are a lot of ways to really collect data. And so based on several tools that we've been using, we're able to figure out some numbers, key numbers that we need for key financial drivers. So I think one of the most important thing would be like key vacancy rate or occupancy rate. And the market average around that specific region has been 65 to 70%
Okay.
is what we're looking at right now, which is pretty high really. But Nick's dad's property also has around similar occupancy rate, if I'm correct. But I think just Airbnbs in general with really prime location or several elements to really attract people really have high numbers in general, I believe. So that's the occupancy rate that we have. And the average the room price per night within the region per person is usually slightly less than 10,000 yen or not, around there. So we can assume, because we're gonna let 5 to 6 people stay at the place, we can so assume like 60,000 yen per night. So
That's
just
correct.
based on that,
So you're renting out
the whole rent.
the entire
Yes.
property to a group or family or whatever the case.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So that would give 65% and 50,000 that, yeah, that would give already 100 isema, right?
Yep. I'm
100
running the
million
number.
yen,
I'm
yeah.
running the numbers as we're speaking. Go ahead.
That would give numbers around like 100 million yen,
Yeah.
and we're looking at a bit of margins around like 50 to 50, 40, 50-60%. So that's kind of like the yield that you can kind of basically calculate from that conversation.
Ten, I think you mean 10 million yen, no?
Yeah, I think
Ten,
10.
oh, 10 million, 10 million, not
Yeah,
100 million.
got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, if it works out to be that way, that's pretty impressive gross yield. But then you have to deal with the management too, right? Like, how are you going to be managing the place? You're not going to be living there, so I'm assuming you need a licensed management company.
I'll make Nick to live there, but Nick, you want
I'll
to
be
Nick, you want to add
living
a
there.
bit? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're looking at currently as well. So what right after we finish, or as we're finishing the renovation process, yeah, exactly. We're gonna have to find a license management management property manager.
There
And
wouldn't be a huge amount of them in that area, would there?
right, yeah, we've found couple candidates, but yeah, they're not, they're not cheap. They're so we're trying to look for better options in terms of yeah, exactly, like you said, the property managers. But right, so
Do
we're
you wanna,
starting up.
if you're not sharing your screen, do you wanna stop the share so we can see you? Yes. Okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so we're looking at essentially, right, so we're starting with off with the Mipaku license, which obviously reduces our occupancy rate. We're capped at 50%. So that's kind of where we try to transition into the ryokan license, hopefully in future. But that's definitely the what some of the difficulties we're running into is with the permitting. That's obviously a challenge in
So
itself.
what sort of challenges do you need? Do you need to amend the structure? Do you need to install anything? What would grant you the ryokan license, do you think?
Right. So first hurdle actually is the window issue. There's, obviously we can't really adjust the window size, and there's a limit or you have to have a minimum a meter length of window, or else you would have to install one of those neon escape signs. And that's kind of what we are running into is
It almost sounds like the neon escape sign would be cheaper than enlarging the window, wouldn't it?
exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of like the how do we yeah, the first process is already that. And that's kind of the second phase is obviously, after turning from the Mipaku to turning into the ryokan license, that's kind of still down the line. But yeah, that's the first issue we're encountering.
Okay. And then where does the wellness aspect come into play? Is it in the furnishing, the activities, the facilities? How would you position it that way?
Yeah, so the wellness aspect will not will like nowhere was it explicitly mentioned wellness, but I think it's in the services and the amenities. And the amenities, the main amenity that we focus on is our sauna experience, our relaxing sauna with the river. So you're kind of the sauna is located within the river, the jungle area.
Okay.
So it's away from the house a little bit, not too far where it's uncomfortable to get to. It's, I think, about 10, 15 steps away. So you still have to get out, and you're inside the kind of wild in the forest. And that's where you really reintegrate with nature. And you're there, big windows in the sauna, looking at the kind of mountains ahead, the trees in front. There's a waterfall nearby, and then you're dipping in the water. So that's one aspect. The second aspect is that it's a first and second floor, it's a void. So it's a large area where we've kept things open. Like we gutted the kitchen wall, we're taking away the beam so that there's a very big experience within, and there's a deck in front. So that area is where everybody congregates. So there isn't as much area to kind of be together apart from that one place. So you have time to spend with the family, you have time to friend spend with the friends, and that kind of is more conducive to put away the phones, put away, like get together, play some games, watch something, talk, have a coffee, that experience as well. So those two are kind of the main focus within the house. And then the wellness comes, there's a lot of great onsen nearby, amazing hikes. You can start on your hike from the house. You don't need to drive anywhere.
But that
So
was going to
that,
be my next question. What's in the area that attracts
yeah.
people aside from the property itself?
Yeah, so there's beautiful hikes. The river that runs in front goes up and down. So we've hiked up as well several times. Great hikes up, a lot of great waterfalls in the winter time. Right before the winter, right now is the Koyo season. So great colors for the autumn. So great runs in the morning, great hikes. And then once the winter hits with the snow, there's a lot of ski slopes nearby. But the main aspect of the ski slopes is the view. The view of Minami Alps around from the slopes is kind of gold, and you come back home, have the sauna right there, can really relax. So that in that inside the house and outside the house, there's great experiences for the wellness aspect.
Do you have a rendering or something that would show people what it might look like when it's done?
Yeah, let me pull that up.
Layout or a layout at least.
Our August 3rd or July 20th visit photos might be a good one to show, maybe.
Let me pull this up.
And you may have, want to show the floor plan because that's,
The floor plan. That's the
While he's doing that, what are your thoughts on how to advertise the property? Obviously, Airbnb is one channel. I'm sure there are quite a few other ones that you'll be up to. I'm no expert like Tracy from our JREP session. She's the expert on that. But I know that there are, number one, there are quite a few options to advertise on and channels to drive traffic through, including your own. It doesn't actually have to be a booking platform. But also, I wanted to ask what sort of photography, lighting, how do you showcase, how are you planning to showcase the place in those listings?
Like, can I just put one or two sentences in the beginning on and I'll pass it to you, Nile. So of course, opportunity that you gave us is another really great channel or marketing method too. So I really thank you for that. But I think because since we eventually want to build our own platform, not always 100% relying on Airbnb. So while we're going to tailor ourselves on our listing in terms of our listing on Airbnb, of course, there are multiple ways to do that, right? To get a lot of attractions on Airbnb, but also at the same time, in a way, in a sense, we want to build like a fandom. So we want to build a fan of our property and what the mission that we're trying to do. So that will also come in many different ways from like social media, our independent social media marketing method, or others, including word of mouth or other any channels. So Nili, if you can add more because it's been super light.
So in terms of listings, we want to focus on the international crowd. And so for them, it's booking.com, Agoda. You have also Airbnb. These are the main platforms that we're going to use for the international crowd. Now, are we just going to keep it open to the international crowd? No, we're also going to open it up for local tourism as well. It is a very famous spot, Minami Alps, Yasukatake. It's also known as the Karuizawa of Yamanashi. So it is a very hot location. So for them, Rakuten Travels and other online booking agents, booking platforms, we're going to use as well. And what Hyun just mentioned, really build our social media reach and platform. I think that's the fandom aspect is basically. You have a lot of people connecting with you, seeing what you're doing. We want to update people on our progress. So we have our first video soon releasing today or tomorrow. And for that, it's just a kind of message to our whoever is interested, this is what we're doing. And that's our what we when we first started, what it looked like. Then as we progress, we have a lot of content and media. We're going to be releasing that as we're doing the progress. And when the house is done, those who have been following, they will know what we've been through, what we've done. And I think that will garner a lot of interest. And then when we start the next one, again, same thing, same kind of model. But in this social media platform, it has like a dual purpose, is to attract people. But in that same social media platform, we're going to be offering like local guides. Here today, we're going to go to the onsen, join us. So that when people are there, we can just leave links or send them links to what we've done, and they can go experience the same thing. So it's kind of a live guidebook. A lot of Airbnbs have guidebooks, but we want to offer more than just a guidebook and offer them, hey, this is how to get there. This is our experience. See what you want. And you can choose from different things we're doing in those areas. So these are the kind of main methods. Apart from these, we have going to pair up with influencers who are going to come to the site, stay, offer their own genuine, authentic experience, share those reels. That will help us gain more media on our platform, but also kind of like word-to-word marketing as well. And we
So
have some photos.
social media is a big part of the strategy there.
Yes.
Are you
And just a
also,
little bit of,
oh,
yeah.
sorry, go ahead.
Just a little bit of background. Nick and I used to work in a lot of like media aspect, like photography and videography. So we have a lot of equipment like drones, really good photography equipment, gimbals. And so we have that experience making the videos, editing the videos. A lot of people that are partnered or like helping us with this project have branding, marketing, artistry experience. So we're getting a lot of support from our family and friends for this project. And not only sometimes when family or friends are with you, it's not sustainable. So we want to make sure that what we do now, we can sustainably produce along the way as well. So for social media, the videos, the content, it needs to be sustainable. So we're designing our current media so that we can continuously making it no matter who's with us or what our schedule is.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in WebDiz Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company, Innovatius, is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com. And his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
That's fantastic. And are you also... hooking up, this is again, I don't run any minpakus ourselves, but from what I hear from other people, it's important to also integrate with the community so you can offer, number one, so that the community will be receptive to your guests, but also so that you can offer collaborations and you're going to get a discount if you do this, you're going to get a special deal from this person. Are you doing any of that?
We are considering it. And when I say considering, it means that we want to do this. It's just that we want to meet different people and see what they have to offer, because we found that, or I found that not everywhere is it so easy. They are receptive, but the things about like discounts and all, that might not be so easy because this place is already getting popular. So for them, it's getting all this tourism is a kind of normal thing. But in terms of receptiveness, there is a great receptiveness towards local and foreign tourism in the area already. And we want to help people, guide people to get there. And I think in terms of receptiveness, people will welcome them and have them over onsen or restaurants or the local experiences. So I think what we're really focusing now on is the guiding aspect, showing people where to go and where they can go.
That's brilliant. Sorry, Nick. Please go ahead. Show us.
No worries. Thanks. Right. So yeah, this is kind of the first floor layout, and like I mentioned, the kitchen was kind of originally supposed to be, where it was originally.
Wow, love that ceiling.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's. It's just. It's a three-story building. We do have, you know, first floor living room, kitchen space, second floor is the wasu, the tatami room, and then the third floor is two bedrooms. So it's a three bedroom house, and essentially kind of the idea is to, after, you know, we've torn down the wall, we're planning to install a counter, bar counter, where guests can kind of, and you use it as a dual, you know, a kitchen counter as well as a little diner. Dining counter as well. And we do, you know, we want to keep, we wanted to remove the beam that's in the middle, but we had to keep that for
just
for sure integrity. And we're also currently we're doing the floors, installing insulations, just because Yatsugatake area gets really cold, up to negative 5 or 6 degrees when it's really really
So the
cold.
cold plunge is not really an option during those seasons, is it?
That's why we're the sauna. That's the sauna's
There'll
for.
be natural cold plunges. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's kind of the issue. The house came with insulation on the walls, so that was kind of like a bonus for us.
That's pretty rare in Japan, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. That's very rare. The neighborhood, it's in a Besso area, right? So it's a lot of it's only really used during the summers, not really a popular destination during the cold. So that's kind of yeah, it's definitely a surprise with the insulation in the walls. And so this is kind of the layout for the kitchen. I do have a rendering of the first floor. Let me just why is this? Right, so
Oh, okay, that's nice.
the first floor area. And yeah, it's just a simple design, but we do have just a central couch in the middle where families can congregate, and just the simple dining setup with a just the bookshelf in the corner. That's about it for the rendering of the first floor. But
Got it.
yeah,
Do you have a layout of the property as it is now or as you're planning it to be? Like a floor
yes, let me
plan?
actually, yeah, I do have that layout. Let me quickly
Yeah, while he's getting that out, the main focus of that inside the house area is that, yes, they get to relax, not having too many features where people don't go out because we are focusing on going out. So the deck area is very important for barbecues, just having a drink, making a little pizza or something. And then you go further down and you have the sauna. So it's kind of like it's on a little bit of a hill. You kind of walk down to the stream. The stream is on the property. So we might build a little bridge so you can easily access the sauna right after. And after the sauna is a river. So it's kind of layered very well, and you see the house beautifully from the river area.
So this is the ground floor, the first floor.
Yes. So this is the first floor. It's essentially a
Nick, you want to zoom in a bit? Oh, nice. Thank you.
So the essentially the first floor, just the exact same layout you kind of seen. If I do a 3D model of this, yeah, it's just a there's a bathroom, little yeah, this kitchen, the entrance. And let me skip over to the second floor. So the second floor, there's a West to Japanese style room with just yeah, the ceiling is hollow. Yeah, it's just
Looking
hollow.
down at the ground floor.
Yes. And this is the third floor area where we do have two bedrooms, and it does come up, yeah, through the stairs. And we, yeah, this is, as mentioned, we do have an issue with the window size, so that's something we have to think about.
So typically, if I'm understanding the layout correctly, this would be a couple with a few children, or maybe two or three couples that would fit in there, right?
Yes, or a friend group. You want to go hang out with your group of friends, high school friends. Yeah, you can come here because I think seven people is what we're looking at. So it does, you're right, like a few couples, a family, with the kids. So around that kind of range, we can accommodate well. I think couples is quite popular when it comes to having a sauna. And that's, I think, Nick's dad's experience too. That, yeah, couples with the sauna, that's a great getaway, weekend getaway. So that it may be what we're expecting. In terms of international crowd, it may be families, as you said.
Understood. So, I mean, it's probably early days to be talking about this, but assuming this goes well, 10 million, 11 million yen, and then we need to deduct management and other costs, that's not going to be a full-time job replacement for the three of you. Definitely not for Mr. Venture Capital over there. So, what are you planning? What are you planning as next steps? Is this going to be a hobby, a part-time thing? You're going to expand it? Well, what do you have in mind for the future? Like individually or as a group, whichever.
think we should go one by one for all like this for this one. So this of course this is not like a typical startup project that I see usually at work. But at the same time, I think we all really figured out within this one a bit more than a year that this is a project that we can never make it fast. It takes time to look at the property, and of course you need to due diligence the property throughout a year to really figure out if this is a property that you can really keep for the rest of the life or not, right? So this is not going to be, of course, a full max energy project that we'll be doing for as a, like a full-time job. But at the same time, this is a side project that could really sit for a long time within us, within ourselves. And so my goal is to have this one property. So this is more like a proof of concept for us, and for us that we three, while we just look like three boys from international school since high school, we can still manage the property and we can do the job really well. It's something, the message as like a really kind of like a humble message that we want to really signal to the whole group and everyone and everyone out there. And once we really prove ourselves that we can really do execute what we planned, we're planning on expanding properties like really quickly. So right now we have only one, but after a year or two of successful operation, I want to bring it to 3, 5, 10, 15 within that region so that we can only
All within
accelerate
that
in
region. Okay.
initially. Then we're gonna, because it's, I think, you know, all comes from leveraging that region's just knowledge or know-how, like just staying in there, right? So throughout this 1 year of experience, we're able to really have great relationship with renovation partners or people in electricity or Wi-Fi, whatever it is. We'll only get better within this region. So we want to leverage this relationship and build something that's really robust. And then we want to scale it to different regions at the very end. So this is a vision that I have and we have. I hope so, but I also want to hear Nick and Nui's thoughts too.
Go ahead, Nick.
Don't all jump in at once.
No, I totally agree with what Hyun, except for one. I guess like for me, I wanna my personal, optimism is that I wanna just go different prefecture, different regions really fast. I mean that seemed I think it's very very, very optimistic approach. The approach he mentioned is probably more practical and realistic, but yeah, that's kind of the thing. I do see a lot of potential growth in the Airbnb market. I think there's Kyoto and Osaka, a lot of the major cities, their Airbnb occupancy level is back to pre-COVID levels, and I think with the rising a lot of demand in within the very local rural area will grow. The approach is, I think, in order to have to promote those regions, I think massive hotel chains are never going to go there. I think it's going to be very small, unique, locate accommodations that'll have to establish grow foundation for those
That's
regions.
the type of guests you want to be attracting anyway, right? You're not looking
Exactly.
for the hotel crowd.
Yes, exactly. So that's kind of the, we want to focus on those regions where it's not, too over, overly populated. That's kind of not our, approach in a sense. So that's one. And then two, I do, yeah, there's just a lot of interest, I guess, in luxury stays as well. I think that's kind of something that I think will grow. It's to a very high level of like not a hotel is doing really, really well in their business model. They're very ultra high end accommodations are really, really popular. Not just there it's a lot of domestic, but I think a lot of foreign interest is going to start to grow. So that's kind of something that maybe we can look into is that sort of really, really high end stays as well. So yeah, a lot of verticals, a lot of ways we can approach this. But yeah, that's kind of the thought
But it sounds like you're personally not thinking about quitting your job anytime soon. This is
process. No, definitely,
down
yeah,
the track kind of thing.
definitely
Okay.
not. Yeah.
How about you, Nilay?
Yes, going along with a lot of what they've said, I have the same vision for this business, this first house, and what we're doing next. The ideal would be to do things as easily as we can, because we have found that when we were in Koshu, there was difficulties. We before we even got our first place, we had our own set of metrics of how to find a place, and that evolved with time. It wasn't the same. Our metrics now isn't the same as when we first started. After getting this property, we found one of the things I would like to say, maybe to somebody who's interested in doing such things, is do trust your gut feeling. Because when Nick mentioned that we were in Koshu about to sign on the house, get the house, it was the gut feeling that we both had. And then Hyun came and we all had that, okay, you know what? This place is not it, right? I think it was what kind of clouded that judgment in the beginning was we want to get our house first, get started, get experience, and then move forward. But if your own intuition, your own gut feeling is not in accordance with that judgment, then it's not a right move to move forward. And with this house that we're currently at, before even getting this house all set up, we haven't mentioned this at all, but before even getting the house all set up, we have had a lot of great experiences here. Right? Every time we go, there's a river right there. This time we had a mini barbecue fire set up. We sit by the river. We've done cold plunges across the summer. We've enjoyed the property already so much, building up that kind of aura and vibe there of, you know, people coming here and enjoying. And definitely in that original place we had first seen in Koshu, we wouldn't have done any of that. It would just be go there, see the work, and leave. Here we do the work, we have fun, and leave. Maybe a little bit more fun sometimes, but definitely we've been enjoying the place. And I think add that to the metric of whether we do it in the area, whether we do it elsewhere, wherever we do it, it's a place that we first and foremost can have fun and can enjoy. And if we can do that, can we tell others that, okay, this is a place where you can have fun and enjoy and relax. So yeah, I think in the practical sense, it would be good to be in the area. These are the photos of this weekend, actually. We had set up by the river. That's the river right there.
That looks
Yes,
awesome.
and we're having a good time.
So it's
And
not, I mean, I think that's first off, yes. I mean, you obviously need to have the emotional connection to the property yourself, but I think that's a really good point that you raised there is that if you're going to be starting quick and small, which is an understandable approach, but if you end up going too quick and too small and you end up with a bad experience with the first property, you're not going to go on to the next property, right?
yes, precisely. And that's why it's been a year and a half in the making to find this one place. As mentioned previously, it does take time, and it's okay to say no to a place, because I think all three of us are very much in accord of the fact that we d rejected that first place. We're very happy that we got this place. We're confident in our daily moves in developing this place. So whether the next place is
I wish a lot of our clients, I wish would have, because I find myself often in a position of trying to just, you know, shed some light on stuff that people might not be thinking about. But once they get emotionally attached to the property, it's often very difficult. Like they pay me to tell them those things, but then when I do tell them those things, they get angry, right?
Yes. And yeah, going forward too, I think that using those emotions can be practical, but only using the emotions is not practical. So it's having like your checklist can have, okay, no neighbors, has nature within it, but it can also have, okay, what does the gut say? Are you okay with this place? And that's the initial thing. I think before you make the investment and become emotionally attached, listen to the intuition. A lot of times intuition doesn't have emotions involved. It's just, you know, like, okay, the vibe is not good here. Go to the next place, which in a lot of Indian culture is something we do. When we look at houses, how does it set with us spiritually? Is it going well or not? And if it's not, then look for somewhere else. It may not be bad, but it's not good for us. And so that's something that we realize, okay, that we need to trust that and understand. And whether we do it in Yamanashi or in other prefectures, I think we have a good metric to see houses and find, and we're going to continue using this metric and continue to evolve it.
No, you're going to get better and better, I'm sure. But it already sounds like everything I've seen and heard, I'm loving. It already sounds like you've got number one. I mean, again, you three complement each other on a lot of fronts, but also you're approaching this very methodically, which is fantastic. Again, I wish more people were doing would have that approach. Good stuff. So when do you expect to be opening?
So we're hoping our original plan was to finish by December, so we can get the full, end of the year, December, the holidays, the Nematsu holidays, the years. Yeah, so that's kind of our goal, or at the moment, yeah. So beginning of December is our official
That's
launch.
in like 10 days, no?
Two to 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and
Two
we
or
should
three
be.
weeks. Okay, so the renovations and all the works is almost done, is it?
It's about maybe you can say 60%, 50% done. A lot of the big things like the kitchen and the bathroom is coming along pretty nice. We're just waiting for the actual material, the counters and stuff to get installed, which doesn't take too long. The flooring and all is done. So I think the last thing that we're looking at is the deck, and the house will be ready, up and ready to have our first few guests for like our early access visitors who would want to come and see our people who are, we want to get feedback on what we need to add in terms of small amenities like kitchen and the bathroom, get that. And I think, yeah, fully launched and like ready for the market by end of year is the goal, yes.
Oh, that's brilliant. And hopefully some of these early access people will be like influencers, will also be able to share stuff when they visit the property, right?
Indeed, yes, definitely.
Absolutely. We would love to have you over as well. That's always,
I'm horrible with a camera, but I'd love to visit, sure.
you're absolutely an influencer. We consider you an influencer, so.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
Can
Cool.
we also offer something, by the way? If
Yeah, go ahead.
any people who claim that they watched this podcast and came over to our place, can y'all give them a discount?
That's brilliant. Yeah,
So we can also work on
we'll definitely
that.
let them know. Yeah, so let us know. Well, do you have a rough idea of what it is so we can announce it along with this recording, or do you want to get back to them with that later?
We'll get back to them with later. From maybe lunch, properly launching from our Instagram account, maybe it might be better.
Yep.
So if we can work that through so that they have our Instagram page and they're gonna exactly know when our grand open's gonna be and how what's the exact like discount rate gonna be, then that'll be super great.
That sounds like a plan. So I think what we'll do is we'll publish this episode maybe in a couple of weeks' time once you've got your official opening date, and then you'll hopefully also have some updated photos or a walkthrough video or whatever to share with us, and then we'll do it all together and also tell them how much they're getting off. That'll be great.
It sounds amazing. Thank
Good
you.
stuff. Looking forward to the first visit. Thank you.
There you go. Awesome bunch of founders. Awesome project. I personally can't wait to stay there. And as promised, here's your special Japan Real Estate Podcast offer. If you book your stay for any time in 2026, the grand opening is 15th January, but you can book all the way to the end of the year as long as, and this is important, you book it in before the end of January. So the discount is only valid until then. You will get a discount of 50% or more, right? You heard it. Half price or lower, which means you'll be paying 20,000 yen if it's during the week, or 30,000 yen if it's during the weekend, for the entire house. That's right, the whole shebang. And the house sleeps up to seven people. So you can do the math on your own, but you're basically paying peanuts for supreme luxury here, no joke. Click on the link in the show notes for that special deal. And also check out their Instagram profile where you can feast your eyes on a few more photos, lots of videos. What an offer, what a project. Good on you guys. Can't wait to see how far you'll go with this one. Very exciting project. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com, and he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time. And until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.